This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone are my
redemption. Thank you, Lord, that we can and have the ability to give you our hearts. And thank you for accepting that. Thank you for opening new ways and new measures in our lives. Lord, you just open our hearts and our minds this morning that we may hear your voice, we may feel your presence. Our Lord, that we will be open to your word this morning. Amen. Thank you. You can take your seat. Right. Good morning, everyone. It's a lovely, crisp June winter morning, and we can see, except for the people that come from the coast that do not have jackets or wear jackets, but we want to thank you for joining us, those from Walvis and Swakop, and from elsewhere, those that came from Italy, just flew in back this week. Just joking. It's a privilege this morning. We have a baby dedication, and I'd like to call Francho and Tessa and their parents up with little Abby. Awesome. She's sleeping. What a good baby. So, in Shofar, we only do baptism once you can acknowledge and recognize in your own words that the Lord is your Savior and you can identify with Him. So, Franz and Tessa decided that we are going to dedicate, and we do a dedication basically saying from the parents' side that they will be responsible for upbringing in God's way. And they make a promise, and they're gonna dedicate her today. So we're gonna, we just have to get the slide up quickly. It is up there. It'll be there in a minute. And then we're going to ask you to quickly just read that. It basically just says we dedicate hereby. And then so I'll leave that up to you because it's your declaration and not mine. So if you want to read it together.
Hereby dedicate Abigail Nestor-Becca to God as a perfect gift from Him. By faith we declare that God's destiny and purpose for her shall be established through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right, and this is the good part where we get to pray over her and trust that Lord, that God will bring word. So a scripture that I have for her is Isaiah 55 verse 13, and that says, and I'm reading from the ESV translation, it says, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And so in quickly looking at what the cypress tree and the myrtle tree resembles. The cypress tree is our normal Christmas tree that we have. So it resembles growing towards God. Because you will see the tree, no matter, well, in Swakop or Windhoek or where the wind blows a lot, you'll see that some of the trees goes like this. in a sense, also our pathway in life. But instead of thorns, which is our the way we were born into, which is sin, I believe God's gonna really grow up as a cypress tree, grow up in heaven. And the myrtle tree is specifically, it's a nice big tree, grows next to the rivers, and it's got this fragrance during the summer times. And that's something that I believe God will use her in this growing up. She will have this fragrance of the gospel of Christ that will go forth. And like I said, although born in sin, I believe really God's got a big plan for her. So if you allow us, let us pray for her. So Father, we thank you that we can dedicate Abby this morning to you, Lord God. We can bring Francho and Tessa before you. And Father, we thank you that the calmness that she is sort of sleeping now with, Lord God, that you will continue to grow in her and grow with her, Lord God. Thank you that you will raise her up, not to be a thorn bush, Lord God, but really a tree that will bear the winds, that will bear the winds of nature, Lord God. But it will continue to grow up in your towards you in heaven, Lord God. But we thank you, Lord God, that you are not a distant God, that you are a God that will continue to be present in her life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fragrance that you will continue to pour out in her life from within your spirit, Lord God, which you will place in her. So, Father, we just dedicate her today and this morning, knowing that she will grow up, Lord God. And, Father, we want to thank you for Francho and Tessa's obedience, Lord God, in your word. And, Father, we want to thank you that you will give them the guidance and the wisdom and the knowledge to continue in this pathway with her, Lord God, to help her establish that relationship with you, Lord Jesus, by showing them and being the example that they are already. So, Father, we thank you for this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we want to, you guys, you said you want to also say a word. Sure. Yeah.
Hello. Good morning, church. It's a privilege to be able to be part of God's family and come here and dedicate our baby girl. I think becoming a first-time parent, you sort of feel like you're supposed to be responsible now and a proper adult and all that, and take care of your family. But actually, it's just reminded me again that we're not, as Christians, we don't have to take on the world by ourselves and be this strong adult that goes and conquers the world. Actually, God is still our Father, and we can still just be children in His name.
Amen.
So, yeah, I guess Abby just reminded me that we can also just be children in God's hand. And He's really shown us His provision for the start of her life. I sort of, to be closer to Tess, just quit my job before she was born with no real future prospects. But God has just provided for us in this time. And I also know that you will provide for her salvation and for her path forward in Him.
Yeah. Amen. And we just want to congratulate you then with a little photo and also your dedication certificate. Thank you, guys. Right, so if you have your Bibles here, you can turn to the book of Luke from chapter 11, verse 1 to 13. And everybody knows that story. But I also believe God is, in a sense, really pressing on our hearts, especially in our Shofar congregations, that prayer is a very important part of our lives. Without it, without the way if we don't pray, firstly, we do not have communication with God. Secondly, we can't build a relationship with God. And Jesus showed that in great evidence in His life. So before we get to His life, I want to ask just a few questions that you need to keep in mind throughout this whole word this morning. And the first one is, if you review your prayer life, would you consider it to be good or bad? And I think that's just a straightforward, honest question that you need to answer. Give an honest answer. Would you say you have a committed prayer life? What do you most often pray for? And the last one is, why do you think, or what do you think prayer should be about? So in Jesus' life, if we look at just the Gospel of Luke, we identify at least 11 places where Jesus went into prayer, praying for the Father. So in Luke 3:21, Jesus praying as the heavens are opened at his baptism. In 5:16, Jesus would often withdraw to desolate places and pray. In Luke 6:12, he goes to the mountain and continues in prayer all night before he chose the 12. In Luke 9:18, Jesus is praying alone before asking who the crowd says he is. 9:28-36, he goes with Peter, John, and James up to the mountain to pray, and there he is transfigured. Luke 10:21-22, he prays to thank God the Father in the Holy Spirit for concealing and revealing. In 11:1-4, he's teaching us to pray. He's teaching his disciples to pray. 22:17-19, Jesus prays to give thanks to God for the cup and for the bread, which we will also deal with or use later on. 22:32, Jesus tells Peter that he prayed that Peter's faith may not fail. 22:41, Jesus prays about the cup. And 22:44, Jesus prays more earnestly. And this is just examples, just in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus actually prays. And then if you look at the teaching of prayer, we can go to Luke 6:10, 11, 18, 19, 20, and 21 and 22. He teaches on prayer, exhorting us to continually pray as he has done while here on earth. So without a doubt, we can say that prayer was a very important part of Jesus' life. Without that, without knowing what God placed in his life, or God's desires for his life, he couldn't go forward. He had to be in tune with God, to know exactly what God was asking of him, knowing exactly what he needed to do. And the only way is the communication that we have with one another and with God, specifically God. So in Luke 11, we see that Jesus was praying, and then after he finished, his disciples came to him and said, listen, Lord, can you teach us how to pray? Can you teach us a prayer that will uniquely identify our fellowship and our unity among one another to God? You see, I think the disciples had to ask him this because they saw the evidence of Jesus' communication, his fellowship, his relationship with the Father. And the way he prayed really inspired them and said, Lord, okay, but we want to do that. We want to have the same. So this is where we head off, and we start with Luke 11 from verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is in debt to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said that to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So this morning is not really about teaching you to pray. When we talk about prevailing or persistent prayer, we can identify it, or we can, in our own lives, we can bring up a couple of things that we've been praying for breakthrough, in a sense, for a long time now. But you see, I believe, even though God blesses us and rewards us in the natural, for me, this is more of a spiritual request and a teaching that Jesus says, what is your priorities in prayer? How do you function? How do you operate in life if, in a sense, you have a mediocre prayer life? You once in a while speak to God, and then through that, God still rewards us. But when we speak, we sort of yearn for that something more. We're always looking for something more. And I believe the one thing that I read this morning, or throughout this week in preparation for it, and which has in a sense changed the way that I also pray and come to God, is this. The first thing that I read in this chapter is that Jesus says, honor the Father's name. And you all agree with me. Verse 2, Father, hallowed be your name. So the aim is not to go into depth about the prayer this morning, but specifically, I've discovered something different. I've discovered something that sort of changed my thought process, and I had to adapt my mind into the way that I also pray now. So we agree that we have to honor the Father. We have to just proclaim His name. We have to exalt His name. We have to glorify His name in the way that we pray and the way that we live. This is what Jesus says in His Word. But in verse 6 of this parable, He goes on and He says, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Now many of us will read it, and then you see, okay, we have to put something on the table. Now the custom back in Jesus' day was that if you did not have anything to put on the table for a guest, you are in deep trouble. That's the reason why this person ran to his friend and had to beg him, had to persistently knock on his door, even though he knew it was 12 o'clock at night, to just get those bread, to be able to put it on the table. So this is my question this morning, is that as Jesus says, Father, hallowed be your name, when we go into prayer and in conversation with God, we in a sense go sit around the table with Him. We have dinner. We have breakfast. We have lunch. But now Jesus, we know, is not our guest when we pray to Him. He's our Lord and He's our Savior. What are you putting on the table when you and Jesus meet? Just as the same as this friend knew that his friend came to, or when his friend came to visit, he had to put something on the table. So often we go into our prayers without the necessary and deserved honor and glory to give God the Father. So this whole prayer and the teaching on it is about the persistence of prayer. But I just wanted to throw that one thing in so that you just reevaluate the way that you pray. Reevaluate the way that you go to God. Because when we pray, so often we would say, "Thank you, Lord, for this day." We'd go about the natural things that we see around us. And yes, that fills part of our prayer life. But honor and glory is what Jesus says, give to the Father. Hallowed be your name. And are we doing that? Are we placing that on the table first as we commune, as we dine, as we sit with Jesus around the table in our prayer life? And this requires planning and time for us to spend with God. And then we go to the second part of it and we say, okay, but it's all good and we need to put something on the table. But how do I get it? Where do I get it? And Jesus goes on and he says, this guy went to his friend in the parable. And if you read the second part of the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us each our daily bread. Now in a natural sense, God provides in all aspects, spiritually and naturally, he can provide. And we ask him for that. But I believe also Jesus is challenging us in this parable to ask persistently and shamelessly for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in order so that we can, or for us to be able to put something on the table to glorify God. So we cannot do it out of our own strength and our own things, and our own purpose and our own will, everything. It's not about us. But if we do not seek and ask Jesus, as God commands us to do, or tells us to do in his word when he gives us his parable, then it's this bit of a circle thing that's running. You know, you have to give glory to the Father. You have to put something on the table. But on the other hand, you don't have something, so you've got to run to the friend. But Jesus is our friend. Jesus is our Lord, our comforter, our guidance, our refuge. And if we ask from the Father, if you and your and our if me and my human ability with all my sinfulness can give the good to my child and treat them well, how much more will God the Father give us? And I love Proverbs 30 verse 7-9. It says, two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor, steal, and profane the name of the Lord. Just a small little thing, and a verse that really means something to me in the sense of, Lord, don't give me too much. Because so often, when we have too much, we put God on the side. And then yet again, if we have too little, we'll try and exhort it or steal it, in a sense, to just be able to make means end. And we need to trust God that He will do something in our lives that will help us realize and see the straightforwardness of the daily provisions that he gives us. So here's the thing. God knows exactly what we need every day, spiritually and in the physical sense. So we need to apply the correct mindset. And that's why I'm throwing in this little this point here of what are you bringing to the table when you pray? And what is your house filled up with? You see, when we ask God for something, when we go to God, we so often, more than often, and I raise my hand first in that, we more than often ask for worldly things. Because we want to supply the natural need to sustain the lives that we have. Or we just want to get by. But in this parable, Jesus is challenging his disciples not to go to that side. He wants them to understand what they pray for and what they ask for. To fill the house that they have, our body, which is the temple of God, with the indwelling of the Spirit, because out of that, we will be able to give God the necessary honor and praise that he deserves. So, if we try and do it out of our own capacity, we are unrighteous. We cannot do it. We will not be able to do it. Because we know that righteousness only comes through faith in Christ. So I need to have Christ in my life. And Christ said, but he cannot be with us right here, right now. So he gave us one better. He says he gave us the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And through that, a natural reaction of praise and honor and glory to God. But how do we set it on the table? How do we put it forward? And the word impudence in verse 8 is a Greek word for anadeia, lack of sensitivity to what is proper. And the word here means shamelessly and boldly waking up his neighbor, and because of that, the neighbor will give him what he need. So if this friend is able to respond with a shameless and persistent knocking about 3 loaves of bread, how much more will our shameless persistence before the Father to have the indwelling of his Spirit, to be filled by a Spirit, to be able to give him praise, how much more will he give it to us? So when Jesus says in verse 9, he says, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. He encourages us to ask. So what I did was I said, okay, the word ask, and in that sequence resembles an acronym for me of ask, seek, and knock. So it's easy for you to remember as well. He says, ask and it will be given to you. See, this is an easy technique that requires very little or no movement at all. Except the mouth. Ask. Meaning you go on your knees and you ask. And here's the thing, not everything we ask for, God will give to us. Because he knows exactly what we need. But the importance is knowing what to ask for. The key is knowing what to ask for. We need to inquire. We need to ask God for his desires in our lives. So our prayer life will automatically fill up with the desires that God places in our heart when we start to ask him what it is. And then the second thing is, once you start to you've asked and God gives it to you as a good father, he says, seek and you will find. So this seeking turns into an action. So now we actively pursue God's desire for us. We need to take off our cliques glasses. You know, some of us wear the number 1, the -2, or the -3. in order to be able to read the words. If your arms are too short, luckily mine is still in a good space. I can read the small letters. But God says if you want the desires of His heart for you planted in your heart, you need to take off that glasses because it's not going to be sufficient enough. You need to get a magnifying glass because you cannot get this wrong. And then you need to seek. You need to dig out. You need to gravel and you need to get dirty in a sense of not doing bad things, but just in a sense of saying, Lord, I want to pursue this with all my heart. And then we reevaluate what we pursue. So the question is, if we are seeking what we are asking from God, knowing what His desire is for us, or are we seeking our own desires and our own hearts? Matthew 6 verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There is God challenging us as well with exactly what He wants us to seek. Ask God, what is the purpose of my life? What is your desire for me? And God will go back to this, I believe. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God. And then we need to actively pursue it. We need to seek it. But now when we start seeking and we in a sense discover that purpose, now we're seeking it. And this is where the shameless persistence comes in. It says, knock and it will be open to you. This is the part where we pray with utter earnestness and desperation. You see, only God can open the door for us. And when we knock, we evaluate in a sense and show how desperate we are for that door to open. But is that desperateness and a door that we want open specifically only for the natural sense of what we can see, what we can feel, what we can taste, our desires in life? Or is that knocking on the door of the desire that God placed in our heart? Do we have that desire and are we knocking at that door? Have we asked for it? Have we seeked it? Have we found it? And then knocking shamelessly, persistently to get it from God. See, Jesus encourages us to make prayer a continual habit of life. And then the last one that Jesus, in a sense, challenges us with on what to pray for. So He's given us a way to start. He's given us something that we need to pray for. You need to pray and ask for something to put on the table. You need to have something on the table in order to give to God. You need to have something on the table, but you can't do it in your own capacity. So you need to go back to, through the Spirit, to God and say, okay, God, what can I place on the table for you? How do I honor you? How do I get the correct words and the way of life, the way that I do things, to honor and to glorify your name, to let your kingdom come? And that's where Jesus says, ask, seek, knock, and it will be given to you. And then He goes on in verse 13 and says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? A prevailing or a persistence for the Holy Spirit. That is what we need to ask for. That is our first priority, our number one thing when we pray. Is, Lord, let your Spirit be evident in my life. Even though good fathers make mistakes, they treat their children well. And so much more will the Heavenly Father treat us well. Far more important gift than material blessings is the powerful anointing and guidance of the Holy Spirit. See, our gifts to our children and to one another are far less than the greater gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this is the Father's gift to us. This is the one thing we need to ask for. We need to seek and we need to knock on that door for God to open it to us. We need to shamelessly and persistently be kneeling down before the Lord to give this to us. And again, when we receive it, not for our own, desires and our own hearts, but really to glorify and to honor God. Because it comes back to that. Dr. John Piper says, prevailing or persistent prayer is the pathway to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, when we know what God's desires in our hearts, we will know what to pray for. And don't get me wrong this morning. I'm not saying you cannot pray for a new car or a new workplace or something in the natural. I'm not saying that. I'm saying get the importance of what we pray for correct here. Try and seek that first, and then all else will fall into place about what we need to pray. Because God will open that desire in our hearts, and He will reward us for our persistence. Just as his friend went to his other friend knocking 12 o'clock at night, and it's sort of in an irritation and a grumbling way, he just wanted to get rid of him, so he gave him the 3 loaves of bread. So much more, because that's the lesser thing of this whole story, is that it's 3 loaves of bread. But the greater part of it is that God, our Father, if we continue to knock on His door, He will open up and give us the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I need to ask this morning, has our prayer life become the babble of what we want for our own benefit? Or do we need to reevaluate how we pray about knowing what God wants us to pray about? Even though we know that God knows what, how, when, where we need anything in our lives. Persistence and boldness in prayer overcomes our insensitivity and not God's. Our practicing of persistent prayer does not change, does more change, it brings more change to our own heart than it does to God's. And it helps us understand and express the intensity of our need in God. And then just quickly recapping is when we pray, we need to honor God. How do we do that? What do you bring to the table? And if you're not sure, you need to ask. Ask, seek, and knock. Be persistent. Do not let that go. And then persistently and shamelessly, we need to continue to pray and are prevailing for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because without that, we have nothing. Without that, we remain mere human beings. But with the Holy Spirit, with God, with Jesus Christ in our lives, we have the promise of eternal life in our lives. And are we continually bringing that before God? Are we asking Him so that we can live this eternal life? And with that in mind, I just want to ask the ushers if they can hand out the communion for us. See, so often, more than once, I've prayed. And even recently, God has blessed us tremendously just with our little miracle in our lives. But I really believe God is seeking more. Thank you, Josh. I really believe God is seeking that we will ask Him for His desires in our lives. And that He wants to be sure that when we've asked, we will continue to seek it. We will actively pursue it. And we will knock. We will, with utter earnestness and desire, continue to pray that desire in our lives. And when the hour came, He reclined at the table and the apostles with Him. And He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks to He said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes, and it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. Oh Lord, this morning we want to thank you that we have so many teachings to look upon. Father, we have so many questions that we can ask. But Lord, my heart this morning is that each one of us will continue to ask the question which is most important, Lord God. What is your desires for our lives? And Father, I just want to pray this morning that we will not come empty-handed to your house. We will not come empty-handed to your table. But Lord, that this morning we will re-evaluate our own storehouse and what we have, Lord Jesus, and what we bring to you to honor you and to glorify your name. And that we will continue, Lord God, to ask for our shelves to be filled, Lord Jesus, with your glory, with your spirit. Oh God, that can give the deserved praise and honor to you. Oh Lord, guide us and bless us this week as we think of the men's camp that's ahead. Father, we pray for transformation in hearts. We pray for transfiguration in lives, Lord Jesus. Not in our own capacity, but as you touch us, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that there's still some time for those latecomers that wants to register, that needs to register, Father. So we just want to pray and call them in the Spirit, Lord God, this morning. We want to call them out and let them get registered. Let them come to have the divine appointment with you. So Lord, we glorify your name this morning. We honor you this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that without you, we are nothing. And we thank you, Lord, that with you, we have the gift of eternal life. Holy Spirit, I ask that you continue to work in our hearts. Continue to press the buttons where we need to be honest and real with you. Help us review our prayer life. Help us to commit to a more to live a committed prayer life, Lord God, with you. Help us to reevaluate what we most often pray for. Help us to pray more earnestly and with more desire for you in our hearts and our lives. You are worthy, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.